Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Here with you, taking your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, the NFL Combine is now over. The hand size measurements are complete. The 40 times have been recorded. By the way, did you see some of these 40 times? It's like the greatest NFL Combine of all time.
Yeah, is this like the juice fastest ball class era, you know, of baseball? Like everybody's running a 4.2 something?
Did you see Jordan Davis? He ran like a 4.72.
Yeah, that's
like 6'8", 370 or whatever he is.
Jerry Rice ran a 4.71.
He ran a 4.78. That's what it was, the official time. 4.78 from Jordan Davis. He's 341 pounds.
The greatest receiver ever ran a 4.71, and this is a 300 and how big is he?
He's 341.
341-pound defensive lineman who basically ran the same thing 40 years later.
That's kind of scary.
Almost 40 years later.
But '90s NBA was the best.
Yeah, exactly. No, those teams would crush these teams now. Sure, yeah. No, sports doesn't get better or anything. People don't get bigger, stronger, faster or anything. No, it's all the glory days. No, it's incredible. That's probably because again, a lot of the combine stuff. You know, all the Kenny Pickett small hands stuff. That's all fine.
Yep.
And a lot of it gets lost in the noise, but that's one I'll probably remember. Just like DK Metcalf's 40.
Yeah.
Kind of meant something. Jordan Davis. Again, it's like he'll never – no one's ever going to ask him to run 40 yards in a particular – on a play of an NFL game, so it doesn't matter that much. It's more about your quickness and stuff.
Yeah, but if he's running 40 yards in a play, probably means you're chasing down somebody that's
right.
Busted a big one on
you. Yeah, right, exactly. You're trying to chase down someone who had a pick or you know his own scoop and score, something like that. But it still speaks to pretty ridiculous athleticism from him.
Well, so. There were 40 times all over the place where you're just like, this could be the fastest draft class of all time. My goodness, the speed out there is incredible.
Bayless
Jones.
What was he, 4.31?
I think so, 4.31. Like yeah.
Helped himself. But, yeah, it's like, gosh, everyone's this fast? Are the clocks?
What are they doing up there in Indy?
Yeah, what's going on? I mean – what are they doing? Is there a way to juice the clock?
Maybe so.
Stopwatches?
Well, it was interesting because some of them, like there was somebody that ran like a, I don't know, like a 4.23 or whatever it was. And they're like, wait a minute. And then they went back and checked the clock and it was really like a 4.31. Like that's a pretty big gap right there.
Well, that's an interesting thing too. Some of the official, so usually it's like you get time and then it gets verified and it's a little bit slower.
Yeah.
But I feel like some of these verified times were faster than what you had like just on the broadcast, so, yeah. Which is also strange. So I don't know, but yeah, fast, a lot of fast guys.
They've got somebody like me holding the stopwatch over there, just not paying attention to what's going on.
Like oh sorry.
Oh look, yeah. Wait a minute, 5.6. Yeah, it's not good, man.
Yeah, why did he get invited?
One of my favorite things to do. Everybody makes a big deal of the combine, and you know, people were watching. I know friends of mine that were actually watching the combine over the weekend and over this past week, which, hey, good on you. If that's what you want to do, knock yourself out. I always go back to Brady. I went and watched a Brady's 40-yard dash this weekend. It's great, man.
Yeah.
Here lies the greatest football player to ever live, Tom Brady out there.
Wow, this guy could be a good quarterback for my over 30 flag football league. We should try to get him, you know. Yeah.
And now he's the Pharaoh.
That's right. So that shows you a little bit of the importance of this event.
Yes.
But, hey, for all of you who watch the Combine, more power to you.
I would much rather you watch the Combine than the Pro Bowl. That's just me.
Oh, I agree with that.
It's just me.
Oh, yeah. Huge. There's still, and again, I would never, did not, and would not watch a second of the Combine on television, but still way better choice than the Pro Bowl.
Well, I think my actual favorite part of the Combine is the amount of questions that these prospects get asked of. So all of you, like if you talk with the Titans, like what do you think about the Titans? We've had discussions. And all the family, oh my goodness, the Titans might draft Bayless Jones. Could be on their radar.
There's a football player at a position, and they interviewed him because that's what all the teams do. Oh, my goodness.
I'm just waiting for somebody to be up there and be like, nah, I told the Titans I have no interest whatsoever. You just stay away from me. I'm going to the Raiders. Yeah. That's the only team I'm interviewing with.
That's a team I have zero interest in, actually. I hope they stay away from me. Please stay away from me, Titans. That'd be refreshing.
We don't see enough of that at the combine. Yeah. Somebody go with Eli Manning. I'm not going to San Diego, so don't draft me.
And he never said that.
No.
It just, you know, Archie made it happen behind the scenes.
I hope this was a productive week for the Titans. This is interesting. I keep going back to the first round pick of what they're going to do. I think it's going to be very fascinating to watch what happens here because I think there's a variety of different ways they could go. And I think the picture of what they might do may start to become a little clearer here in the next couple of weeks as cap decisions have to be made and casualties may be on the offensive line or the secondary on defense, whatever they decide to do with some of their cuts. The picture is going to get a little bit clearer before the draft process happens. But right now, as it stands with the roster today, it's already, I think, a few different ways you could go with it. I'm leaning wide receiver, but I think they could go a couple of different ways with it.
Yeah, well, obviously, some of the there's some stuff before the draft that'll make it easier to guess.
Sure.
But, you know, look, one thing that does come out of the combine is the depth of receiver, I think, is certainly was on display, and it's pretty clear. You know, there's a lot of different kinds of receivers, a lot of really I forget exactly what Burks ran, but he ran really well for everything else that he brings to the table, for example. You know, of course, Olave, just ridiculous, just whatever, you know, four. Was he a 4.2 guy too, or was he just low 4.3? Yeah, just low 4.3. So, I mean, that
slow guy.
Yeah. The receiver group showed out, and I think you have a chance to get a real impact player there, but maybe they'll be. John Robinson's first thing he said, edge rusher.
That was interesting.
That would not be the thing that I would have guessed, you know, for them. But that of course, well, Harold Landry, tag deadline tomorrow. So doesn't mean if they don't tag him, doesn't mean that they aren't working on, you know, still signing him. They've said they want him back. But the only way you know for sure that he's going to play on this team in 2022 is if they tag him by tomorrow.
Well, and let's say tomorrow comes and goes and there's no tag placed on Harold Landry, which I would be surprised by, but let's say that happens and they're not able to come to a deal with him. How big of a priority does edge become in your mind with the Titans at that point, with Harold Landry maybe not in the fold?
Well, it's a priority, but you have a huge investment in one guy.
Yep.
You still feel great about what you have up front, obviously. And you drafted another guy in a pretty prominent draft spot a year ago. So I guess I'd still be a little bit surprised if that's how it played out. And then they went first pick with an edge guy. But that's where, as a GM, if you truly stick to your best available, you know, like, well, look, this position may be a higher need, but this guy at the edge is just, we have him higher on the board than any of the receivers or whatever, then you go with that. I'd still be a little bit surprised if that's because of the offensive line needs that are going to become apparent here pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, I'm interested to see what happens with Harold Landry because I guess, you know, we were talking to TD a couple of weeks ago and talked about the tag itself. Like, if you can't reach a long-term deal with him and you put him on the tag, I mean, that cap hit next year is a huge number, and that's difficult to work around. I wonder what the balance is if you're John Robinson, the Titans, if you want to get a long-term deal done with him, but do you want to do it at the expense of, if you can't, you're stuck with that cap hit for next year? I don't know. That's an interesting spot.
Well, if you tag him, you got to get that deal done.
Yeah. Like, you better be confident.
Well, you give yourself obviously the advantage. But, yeah, if you tag him, you also have to – you got to get the deal done, but if you tag him, then you also have to embrace the possibility – of that number being on your books next year.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? How many players that you'd like to have on this team do you not have because of that decision?
Maybe Aaron Rodgers.
Thank you. Let's bring it back to that. I'm very much looking forward to Jared Stillman and company.
Yeah.
Jared.
Yeah, Caroline. I'm very much looking forward to Jared and Caroline today.
Yes.
How do you think that...
By the way, can we call it Jared and Caroline?
Yeah, finally.
And I have to keep beating the drum for that, for Caroline's name to be on the show? Yeah, Michelle's dying at me.
Oh, yes. Yes.
How,
I'll send for that.
What do we think the show is going to be like today with Jared and Caroline?
I don't know.
He already tweeted and was like, oh, we are talking about it.
Again, Mike Florio is not making stuff up, okay? So, he's not making stuff up out of the blue. So, I think some people will jump to, Mike Florio wouldn't do that. Mike Florio has sources. It's interesting how this has been dunked on, and I just wonder, I wonder how accurate it is. One source, who is the source, how solid is this information? It's not made up, but I don't have a lot of confidence in his information.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. Hit up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've got the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up later this hour at 7:45. Corey Curtis from News 2 dropping by at 8 o'clock. Darren McFarland at 9. And as always, taking your thoughts via our phone line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our texts are down at the moment. We are doing some maintenance on that, and hopefully they'll be back up by the end of the show. So the text line, which Joe Rex Road, big fan of the text line. Sometimes the characters on the text line, unavailable to us at the moment.
I can just imagine what Heidi would like to say right now.
Well, maybe we'll be able to go back in later and see what she has said.
I hope so. I hope these
are. Or call in, Heidi. Call in.
Well, we've been trying to get that to happen for a while. We've not seen it yet to this point.
That's true.
Heidi, this could be your opportunity.
You do one of those voice things.
Yeah. It's the voice changers.
Yeah. Like the Riddler. I don't want to give anything away. Saw the new Batman.
I've heard it's good. I've not seen it yet, but I heard it was good.
Yes, it is very good. I was pleasantly surprised. I did not have high expectations, so that's a big part of, right? Like, if your expectations are sky high. I mean, I had an argument with Martell on Twitter because he says it's better than The Dark Knight. It's not better than The Dark Knight, Martell. But it's really good.
That would be a pretty high bar for it to be better than The Dark Knight.
Yes.
I mean, The Dark Knight Rises is pretty good, too. So it'd be pretty high bar for those two.
Yes.
I'm not a huge fan of The Batman Begins.
Yeah, no, I would say this is a better movie than that one.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, again, I think all three of those are really good. Dark Knight is next level.
Next level stuff.
But anyway, yes, The Riddler, freaky, does the voice change thing. I could see Heidi doing that if she calls.
Maybe we'll find out later this morning. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Talking Titans, the Harold Landry discussion. Hopefully we'll have a resolution one way or the other on that tomorrow. The tag deadline in the NFL tomorrow. So free agency beginning on March the 16th. So lots of things happening right around the corner. I'm interested from the free agency point of it. How many of these tight ends make it to free agency? There's reports over the weekend that Cleveland is trying to side David Njoku to a long-term deal. Do the Dolphins lock up Mike Gesicki? Like, how many of these tight ends that we've talked about in what is a loaded tight end free agency class at the moment, how many of them actually make it to free agency? I'm interested to see what happens on that front. And if you're the Titans, and there's some pretty good options out there, how aggressive are you when it comes to the tight end position? Because to me, that's how you fix that this year. It's not via the draft. It's via free agency with tight end.
Yeah, I think so. Saying that, there's some really good. I mean, Trey McBride's, turning some heads and things like that. So, I mean, it's possible it could go that way, but it just feels like the number of good to maybe very good tight ends is should be pretty high. So it just seems like that would be where it would make sense to move your pile of money, whatever that pile is. Very interested to see how they come up with one, but there are ways, and there's going to be some tough ways to do it. That just seems like the best place to use it. If you get enough, then you can also maybe look at a depth offensive lineman. I would think that would make sense. I haven't even really thought about, when we're talking about edge and things like that. Like, to me, it's, you're going to be very limited in what you can do in free agency.
Yeah.
And then, of course, right now, this tag situation, I mean, the bottom line is if you do it until you do get a deal done, now it is harder to stay under the cap during the free agency period if you do tag Harold Landry.
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to tag him and immediately, you know, get the deal done a week later and give yourself the cap relief from getting the deal done? I mean, I guess it's possible, but, you know, that goes into this decision, too, is just the timing of everything. You have to stay under the cap.
You have to stay under the cap, and, you know, with the tight end part of this, I'm looking around at these tight ends, and I'm thinking to myself, imagining them in a Titans jersey, like how much of a difference could a legitimate tight end make for this team next year? I mean, it was virtually no factor in the passing game. They had some big, like Michael Pruitt made some big catches in the end zone, and, you know, Anthony Firkser came on a little bit towards the end of the year. Anthony Firkser was also wide open on that last play, last interception by Tannehill. So maybe throwing the ball there, maybe could have made a big difference. Maybe they play, keep playing and go throughout the playoffs there, and John Robinson's not crying on stage.
Got to bring that up, huh?
Well, I'm just saying he was open. That's all
was,
I'm saying.
He was open.
He was wide open on that play. But throughout the course of a season, how much of a difference could an actual weapon at tight end make for Ryan Tannehill? Look, we talk about Jonnu Smith. I think he made a big difference for Tannehill. His production, you know, numbers-wise, really wasn't that impressive when you go back and look at the actual numbers of it. But his presence, I thought, was very important. We've talked about how important he was in the blocking game. Like, that's obviously something the Titans want in their tight end. But I want somebody who makes a place. Like, I want somebody that can be a threat and a matchup problem over the middle for these teams, because the Titans, not only did they not have that from the tight end position last year, they didn't have that in the slot either. And you've got to have somebody over the middle of the field, and it can't just be A.J. Brown every time where you can throw the ball. And I'm interested to see if they get that, what a difference that can make for number 17 next year. I think a big one.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. Jonnu Smith, you're right. He didn't have big numbers, but he made big plays. He made plays in the red zone, and he made them unpredictable because he was, you know, he was effective in all aspects of the job. And they obviously lacked that last year. I mean, look, I think Swaim makes sense if they can bring him back for sure. And someone who I could see, you know, factoring in even if they go out and upgrade the position a lot. And maybe even one of the other guys. I mean, Pruitt, they tried not to sign him. They finally signed him. He ended up being pretty key.
He did.
But then you have an injury like that at this stage, you know, that's tough. But, yeah, you got to get way better. That's the position that was, I guess you could say, neglected. But, I mean, it was a position where they thought they'd be okay, and they weren't as okay as they thought they'd be.
Yeah, and, you know, the way that they went about running the offense, you talked about, you know, the three receiver sets more. Is that going to be more of a thing next year? Or if you get tight ends that you like, do you go back to more of a two tight end set more often? I don't know. I mean, Todd Downing has run traditionally a lot more of the three receiver sets, but the personnel has dictated that, both in Oakland and here last year with Julio. Would they change that?
I think that's the personnel dictating it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's just
maybe
his
that's the way
thing.
He wants to do it. I don't know.
Maybe it's his thing, and now Tim Kelly comes in and says, by golly.
We're going two tight ends.
Yeah, two tight ends all the time. No, but I mean, yeah, I would have to think that. I mean, we talked about it so much after last offseason going into the camp. Like, they've got to become much more of an 11 team.
Yep.
One back, one tight end. And they did. And I'm not saying that's why things – there's a lot of reasons the offense took steps back. But, I mean, they were just at their best with two tight ends more. So it makes sense, I think, to try to do that more.
I think it does as well. We'll see what happens on that front with Todd Downing and the Titans. It's interesting to me, you know, what a question we got a lot last year on the text line. Delanie Walker, is he coming back? We probably got that 35 times last year. I bet we don't get that as much this year. Because that ship sailed finally.
I think. But has he actually retired?
Yes, I have not heard him say anything.
I've seen him say he's retired. But, I mean, how old is he now? I was just thinking of Delanie Walker just a minute ago, too, because, you know, that's obviously coming into this era with Tannehill.
Yeah.
I mean, Delanie Walker, they were so relevant. Think about how important the tight end position was to this offense for years. Yeah, when they were bad, but even when they started to get good, you know? I mean, he was going to be a huge focal point of what they were going to do in the 2018 season before he got hurt in the opener. But, yeah, I think that's probably – I mean, he's 37. He will be 38 this August. I think it's go ahead. And, I don't know. Let's maybe USFL
fire
maybe.
Back up.
Well,
hey,
reunite with. Well, he was never with Jeff Fisher, but unite with
two Titans
another
legends.
Former Titan. Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Grant, who wants to weigh in. Grant, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. First time I've ever called in. Wanted to get your guys' take with the Titans. Obviously, there's a lot of things that they need to address. Offensive line, defensive line, receivers, what are they going to do with, quarterback? I want to ask about the tight ends. When it comes to a free agent like, Rob Gronkowski, I know you guys mentioned earlier they need someone that's kind of over the middle. And, Gronk's kind of been a guy that's always been joined to Tom Brady's hip. If Tom isn't around, he's not going to go there. What would your guys' take be on potentially, signing Grant to a one-year deal, kind of like Tampa's done over the past 2 years? I'll hang up and I'll listen to what you guys have to say. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Grant. We appreciate it. I mean, it's
– thumbs up.
If he wants to play and the Titans are a team that he's interested in coming to, I'm all for it. I thought he was really good last year when he was healthy. Now, the when he was healthy was the big part, and injuries have been – a thing for Gronkowski, and he was injured for a significant portion of last year as well. But when he was in there, he was really good. I just wonder, with Tom Brady being retired at the moment, Gronk has not yet made that decision as to whether or not he's coming back. I wonder if he's going to play this year. But if he is and he wants to play and he's interested in the Titans, heck yeah, I'm giving that a look.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
John Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, I have serious doubts that that's going to be an option. But
Buffalo.
What's that?
I'm calling it. He's going to Buffalo. 1 year deal.
1 year with the Bills. Yeah.
Michelle's a big Bills fan.
That's true. Bills Mafia.
Probably not.
Very
excited. Probably not.
So Gronk's going to turn 33 in a couple months here.
Which is amazing because I think about Gronk and I think he's like 45. In other ways, I think he's 19.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah. Yeah. He's got some love cruises to book here.
He does.
Coming up in the near future. But, yeah, no, I mean, if he was open to that, absolutely, he would help. I mean, he's still really good.
I wonder what he would cost on the open market for a one-year deal. I don't know. Like, the Titans are probably not getting into Zach Ertz money territory, would be my guess. It's just hard to imagine that working. Like,
hard to imagine.
What Gronk's – like, what would a player like Gronk command the open market?
What did he make last year?
That is a good question. I'm searching for that right now.
Okay, looks like he made – yeah, $8 million last year. Could you get him for $6 million?
If you could,
if you're him, are you playing for $6 million after playing for $8 million, going for another ring?
I don't know. That's a good question. Like, he could be waiting to see if Tommy comes out of retirement.
Well, that's
what
true.
He calls him, Tommy.
Well, he should have inside info on
that. He should. So if Gronk doesn't sign anywhere and doesn't retire in the next, month, is that proof that Brady's coming back in your mind? He's just waiting it out?
I mean, it's proof. It's probably a good indication that the door hasn't been closed, right? Or the tomb for the Pharaoh.
Yes, he's not reclosed that thing back up, resealed.
Yeah.
We're continuing to take your thoughts here on Robbie and Rex. 615-737-1025, our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll look ahead to the Tennessee Vols and their chances in the SEC tournament. Big win for Tennessee over the weekend against Arkansas. Could this be the year that they get it done in the SEC tournament? We'll get into that coming up on the other side. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's as the neighborhood bar and restaurant to catch the next Preds game. Jasper's is located on Weston Avenue and offers a fun atmosphere with a game room, TVs, and a large bar and lounge area. Plus, they offer free parking. We know what a big deal that is on West End Avenue. And they offer specials for every Preds game day, including $10 smash burgers and $3 bottled domestics as well. So come on down to Jasper's for the next Preds game day, which is tomorrow, for happy hour every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. and 2-for-1 beers all day long on Sundays. Just tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you.
And 7 seconds left for the Hogs. They'll need a miracle now. Quick three, Amude left it short. The loose ball with one, and the clock will run out on Arkansas's comeback attempt. Tennessee undefeated at home this season.
The Vols get it done on Saturday at home against Arkansas. Got a little hairy towards the end of TBA. What were they up, 23 in the first half?
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, 23.
Was it 49-23 or 43-23?
Yeah.
And it got to 53-29 early in the second.
Yeah.
And then, man.
All of a sudden, it was a lot closer.
I mean, that's the thing. There's one of my called shots that they blew for me because I think I said they were going to beat them by 12-plus or whatever.
Yeah.
Double figures. And I absolutely should have.
You look like you were well on your way to being right.
I mean, man, you just can't have these lapses. But you also have these big leads to blow, so that means something too, right?
Yeah. Well, Kennedy Chandler was feeling it from beyond the arc the other night. What do you end up with, 5 out of 6?
5 for 5.
5 for 5?
5 for 5 on threes, 0 for 3 on free throws. Mm. So got to work on that. I mean, that is a big thing. You know,
shoot those free throws from a little farther back.
I mean, you're holding on to a lead here in the SEC tournament or in the NCAA tournament. You know, you're getting the ball to him. Although, that's you know, I mean, that's your best bet for an inbound is your quickest player to get open, right? And then that's typically what – now, you can go with Ziegler, though.
Well, and that's the thing. That's what – and they were talking about this a little bit on the broadcast, too. Like, your closing lineup, if you're Tennessee, being able to have Vescovi, Ziegler, and Chandler out there at the same time in those type situations is a big deal because you can get some quickness and get open on the inbound, and then you've got, especially in Ziegler's case, pretty good free throw shooter until they jinxed him on the broadcast the other night. Made me mad.
Yeah, yeah. But he's been very good, and I feel like, you know, a lot of pressure coming up here, you know. But he seems like someone who – relishes that. And then Vescovi, who's pretty rock solid the line,
yep,
too. But you'd still would love, because there's times when it's like, okay, the ball's got to go to Chandler, you know. So you figure this would be a good week to get in the gym and put those free throws up. He should not be in the 60s.
No. So what sort of a chance do you think the Vols have as they head into tournament play? Obviously, not going to be at Thompson Bowling Arena. They've been a dominant team at home this year. Much different on the road. Now you're in a neutral site setting heading into this tournament. What do you think about their chances with Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Auburn being the top four? As you said, I'm looking forward to this top four. I think it's going to be a great top four, which means somebody's probably going to lose along the way. What do you think of Tennessee's chances heading into the tournament?
Well, I think they have a good chance. So with these conference tournaments, first of all, getting the double bye is huge, but even with that, if you talk about what are your chances of winning, then I look at, you know, depth relative to the other best teams. And it's interesting with Tennessee. So I think they have good depth, you know, certainly inside. You know, it's kind of wild that you would lose who was really your best all-around big, Olivier and Kamwa, and you'd still be really deep in there because those two freshmen now have really come on and they've earned the right to play a lot. And Plavsic, you know, is fine. So, I mean, and then obviously Fulkerson. So, like, you got options. You got fouls you can use. You got some depth there. They have perimeter depth, but they haven't really been using it. It's really interesting to see how the lineup has kind of evolved. I mean, Victor Bailey, every once in a while, will play a key role, but then a lot of times not. Powell has basically just kind of disappeared.
Yep.
Gets on the floor a little bit. I mean, I thought he was going to be a huge key to this season. You know, it was Justin Powell being able to hit shots, but they just – basically, Ziegler is taking those minutes. It's like, well, how about just have another point guard out there? He's playing 30 minutes every game now. So, can you trust those guys enough to, like, spread that out a little bit and get to the point where, like, if you get to Sunday, you know, that everybody's not dog-tired? Because, look, Vescovi and Josiah James are going to play, like, 38 minutes every game. They just have to. And, you know, Chandler and Ziegler, you can give them a little bit more rest. But that's one thing. It's just beyond that, though, can you play well enough to even, you know, win on a Saturday against, like, a Kentucky? I mean, I still think Kentucky, fully constructed, maybe Michelle, are they going to have – how are they going to be health-wise on Saturday? By Saturday?
They're going to look good. Sophia Wheeler, Ty, they're both back. Been playing the last couple games.
But Ty's still a little banged up, right?
A little banged up, but, I mean, he played against Florida.
He's dancing around coming in the gym the other day.
Yeah, doing the gritty. That's their thing. But I already tweeted, guys, I am stressed. Like, I'm going full fangirl this weekend.
I know. I'm going to have to get some, like, Kyle Tucker got video of Cal in the crowd yesterday. I'm gonna have
Michelle
to,
Cam?
I'm going to have to do a little, yeah, I got to find Michelle.
That would be incredible.
Do you have, like, where are your seats? Are your seats, like, low, high?
I think they're low. My dad hasn't got them yet, but hopefully dad hooks us up.
Hopefully you're
And hopefully you're he's listening range. Right now and just heard me say that, so now he has to.
Yeah. Pressure on him, yeah. But, I think Kentucky with Ty and a full go, I mean, I think they arguably the best team still of the bunch. I mean, I know Auburn's really good, but I think Kentucky, I think this could be, you know, a real shot for Cal to win it. So, you know, if you're Tennessee, neutral site. Also, it's going to be more of a road game.
Yep.
I mean, I'm just assuming. I know that Kentucky fans are going to show up in force. Auburn fans, that'd be interesting. I would think that they'd be awfully excited.
I mean, it's not.
Tennessee fans, they'll be there.
Comparatively speaking,
but
Tampa's not that far away from Auburn than it is from other people.
Right. It's really, I mean, it kind of sucks. This should be in Nashville.
This is, yeah.
You know? Like, it, like
this feels really weird to have this tournament in Tampa. It really does.
Well,
yeah, okay.
And you remember, you know, what it was. It was basically a 50-50 building in 2019. And it was just an incredible semifinal. Tennessee-Kentucky. Man, what a game. What a crowd. And that would be that kind of atmosphere here, I think, in Florida. I'm sure you're excited about this, Michelle. But it's going to be more of a Kentucky home crowd. I just assume wherever, you know, Kentucky is this
Louis.
Month. What's that?
Remember St. Louis when they had the tournament there?
Yeah.
A little boy.
Yeah, but unfortunately, you want it to, like, Nashville's so great because it's so centrally localized. Like, even this weekend, there were so many South Carolina fans here, Tennessee fans, Kentucky fans. Like, that's what makes it fun. And it is kind of bittersweet because you have four teams, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Auburn, where any one of them could win it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could have a sleeper team, Bama, go off and win it or something. But fans like that would travel to Nashville. I just hope there are a decent amount of fans in Tampa.
I think the building will be full, but I just think it'll be full of you and your.
Call the Hawks.
Your wacky.
Get the
BBN
Arkansas
people.
Fans down there.
I mean, I think they'll be, like, yeah. They've got to be excited. You know, the close team, Florida, I don't, you know, I mean, they're fighting for a bid.
Yeah.
If they would have won Saturday, I'd like their chances. But I'd say they're probably on the outside looking in. But, I mean, how much do Gators fans care? Are they going to be there? You know? I don't know. But, yes, this would be great to have here this weekend. Because that top four is – not many years that the SEC has four teams where you're like, yeah, could totally see all of them in the Final Four. Not too often.
No, and I'm hoping for the sake of this tournament, I'm hoping all four of the Big Four make it through to Saturday. That'd be great. Like, yes, you like to see teams go on surprise runs, and it makes things interesting. This is an example of the tournament where it's basically been these four all year. I would like to see it remain these four on Saturday.
Yeah, that would be
no disrespect to Florida.
That would make four
or Bama.
Well, Vanderbilt? What about Vanderbilt?
We need a Kentucky-Tennessee matchup so we could have a bet again, Robbie.
Do you want to go that way again?
Oh, I want to go that way. I want to go that way. Neutral court, I'm ready.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
I mean, Vanderbilt just has to beat Georgia. They had Alabama beat Alabama.
Vandy Joe.
It's Vandy, Kentucky on Friday night.
Yeah.
Want to make a bet on that
Watch
one, Joe?
Watch out.
Since you're Vandy Joe?
On Vanderbilt. Well, I thought I was GB Joe.
You're all of it.
Yeah. I hate
on
your
the
team.
Line is Cal's Rolex.
What's that?
And the winner gets Cal's Rolex.
Cal's 100K Rolex.
Yes. Glad he found that yesterday.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Look, I think Tennessee's got a shot. When's the last time they won a tournament? 79? Is that it?
I think that's right.
Yep, 79. Last time they won. So that's a long time. That's a big drought.
That is a long time, yes. I mean, that's 79. That's the year Michigan State won all of Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
And that was right after Ernie and Bernie. And a lot of lean years in between. But, look, it's a great era of Tennessee basketball, you know. It's just that the March thing is, you know, like they need – I mean, look, they got the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
But that team was better than a Sweet 16 team. You know, they need a run beyond that to quiet that down.
If Rick Barnes and company go and win this tournament, does that make you feel any differently about Rick Barnes in March if you're a Vols fan? Or does it all come down to the NCAA tournament?
You know, I love conference tournaments. I'm excited about this one. I think they're great. But Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't even know what Rick Barnes' like conference tournament. I don't know. I don't think it's that's all NCAA tournament. So even if they win this tournament, which I guess in theory could put them on the 2 line, for whatever that's worth, I think they
probably looking at 3.
Yeah, and they're probably looking at Pittsburgh. But still, I mean, if they were to do that and get a championship, which is a big deal, I think there'd still be still a lot of people like, okay, and now you got to, you know, this is it. Like, the history of kind of underachieving in that tournament is, it's real. So I still think there'd be a lot of skepticism, which I get.
We'll see what happens. Tennessee's hot coming in the tournament. No question about it. Can they keep that up on a neutral site? We'll find out the answer to that this week. Going to be a fascinating SEC tournament down in Tampa. Joe Rexroad and Michelle Knezovic will be taking it in. So we're looking forward to that. Live reports every day, Rexroad.
No problem. No problem. Got to remember to do Jared versus Joe, too.
That's right. When we come back, it is time for the Rex Rant. Joe Rexroad's rant of the week coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Can you take me higher?
And it is that time of the week, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the week. Joe, I must say, when we get a little Creed back on the program, it's difficult for me to talk. I don't want to interrupt Scott Stapp.
Yeah.
And it really makes me uncomfortable to do so.
Yeah.
So sometimes I just let this thing go, man.
Let the magic just happen. Let it unfold.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful. God.
I can hear him Scott Stapp. Hopefully one day we'll be friend of the show. We got to work on that.
Yeah, we got to get him on the show. Ask him why he decided to make music. Just kidding.
We love you, Scott Stapp. I feel like I have to throw that disclaimer out there every time. Yeah. Much like Rexroad has to throw it out there with Marcus Mariota. When I talk, I throw it out for you, for Scott Stapp.
That's right. That's right. That's a good comparison. Mariota, better at throwing a football than Scott Stapp is at making music. I feel great about that.
I don't think so.
All right. So today I'm basically, I just have a smorgasbord of complaints. This is sort of okay. This is sort of like airing of grievances and Festivus. Just a lot of things are annoying me.
Good.
Like, for example, right now, I'm freezing my butt off again. I was just really hot, and now I'm really cold. Why?
This studio something.
It was a quick hot flash, Joe. You're good.
What are they trying? Is Chase trying to kill? What's he trying to do to us? This is like some kind of like experiment.
We used to get after Porth for this. This is now fully on Chase.
Yeah. Chase has taken over, so I
wearing that suit.
Yeah, the suits are trying to – yeah, they're conducting experiment on us. Let's see. What's happened? Okay, in the last couple weeks, twice I've seen men leave the restroom, the public restroom, without washing their hands. Again, twice. Happened at Bridgestone this weekend. Happened at a gas station, I think, at the trip to Indy. Dude, are you kidding me? I mean, first of all, ever in your life, never, ever, ever, okay, should you ever do that. And even now, in the last couple of years, are you kidding me? How the hell are you not washing your hands after you pee? What is wrong with you? I had to spend a lot of my Saturday like bothering people and stuff, you know, getting laughed at with this Florio thing. That was annoying.
So Florio on the list?
Well, look, Florio had a source. Florio reported what he reported. It's just annoying, okay? And I
Aaron Rodgers on the list?
Again, Aaron Rodgers is definitely on the list. So let's go to the ESPN broadcast yesterday of South Carolina, Kentucky. This is something that it's a pet peeve of mine. So huge moment late in the game. Ryan Howard is in the lane. The ball stripped from her. Immediately, it looked to me like and I actually have replayed it in my DVR, but it's just hard to say because all you had was the faraway view. She immediately went to the official like, are you kidding me? So there's a timeout right after that. And so the broadcast cuts to play-by-play announcer Courtney Lyle and Carolyn Peck, who, by the way, they did a really good job. So if you're producing that broadcast, I understand that the plan already was probably the next time out we're going to go to them. They're going to, you know, kind of like revisit the announcers, reset the game. But if you're producing that game, you have to understand that is a big, big call, big, big moment, huge at the end of the game. And we have a thing called instant replay in sports. Pretty handy.
We do.
And we never saw a replay of the play. Never. Now, I know it didn't end up mattering. Kentucky hits the huge check. Great. But, like, from a broadcast perspective, you can't let that happen.
Right.
You have to show us a different angle to look and see if it was a good call or not. Or what? I mean, any big play in a game has to be replayed for us to watch. And if you don't do that, this is where, you know, the Kentucky fans, who, if they would have lost today, would be screaming conspiracy because the SEC wanted South Carolina to win, and they won't even show you when the refs cheat for South Carolina to win. So, big broadcast boo-boo. Also, today, in the kitchen, I'm walking barefoot, and I step in a big puddle of pee. Gus, Quinn, I don't know which one of you did it. Why? Why did you pee right in the random, totally, in the middle of the kitchen floor? Why did I step right there? Why weren't the dishes done?
Just why?
A lot of why. Just why. I think that's all I've got.
Did you? Were you in the path of Kim Mulkey's rage the other night, by the way? Speaking of going off on the refs, that was something. You were in the building for that, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. No, I tweeted this, and I had my seat was directly across from Kim Mulkey, and I was like, yes. And I tweeted the first time that happened, I wasn't really that familiar with her, was the NCAA championship game, 2005. That's actually, so Michigan State beat Tennessee in the semis, came back crazy. That's the only time I've been around Pat Summitt. I asked Pat Summitt a question. And she was awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
And Michigan State played Baylor in the national championship game. And I had and Baylor ended up winning big. And I didn't really know much about Kim Mulkey. But she that night, they probably find it, she wore like a leather blue suit. It was amazing.
Fierce.
Yes. And then it was like, whoa, who the heck is this? That was 2005. That was 17 years ago. And I feel like, honestly, I watched her most of that game, and she was actually pretty chill. I was kind of disappointed. I was like, it wasn't what I remember, you know. And we see it. I mean, how many times if you watch on TV, she just, and then the moment happened, and I was like, she's been saving it all up for this. I mean, it looked to me like she tried to punch the ref. I know she didn't,
right?
But like in real time, I saw her scream the loudest F-bomb ever, and I thought she seriously punched at him. And then, you know, if you see from the other angle, she's like punching the air while screaming the F-bomb and just going off and doesn't get ejected.
Yeah.
Like,
it's amazing.
Like, I mean, we were all talking
about
it.
She went back at, like, she was following him down the floor.
Yeah, her assistant, she pushes her assistant off. Yeah. And she's like, get away from me.
Well, she was trying to get – that's actually – someone on Twitter made a good point because then, you know, Alabama's coach gets ejected for like, oh, whatever. I mean, it's two different technicals. But usually if you go that extended off, you're going to get one and you're going to get another one, right? But then someone on Twitter was like, I think the refs actually wanted her to have to sit there for the rest of that game because she was going to lose. And actually, I think she wanted to get tossed.
Yeah.
So anyway, Kim Mulkey got it done finally.
Think about that triumvirate of coaches they've got down there when it comes to football, men's basketball, and women's basketball. Kim Mulkey, Will Wade, Brian Kelly.
My goodness.
What a trio.
They need to have the three of them do one of those weird Brian Kelly recruiting dances. Do. You know? Just, can you imagine that?
Like, well, Kim Mulkey's on TikTok. I saw her on TikTok.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's LSU.
Dancing?
No, they did like a – you know how she wears her game day outfits and they're very extravagant? She had like a bedazzled sequin one. Oh, it's like – she's in a robe or whatever, and then it, like, flips, and she's game day outfit ready. I'll send it to you guys.
Wow. So that, and then with Brian Kelly and his dancing, and I don't know what the hell Will Wade
Will
would
Wade's
do.
Sitting Will Wade's sitting in an FBI out. Surveillance vehicle. I don't know.
Will Wade just passing out stacks of cash to both of them as they dance around. God, that is. Is there another, in college sports, is there another trio for those three sports, the two hoops and football, that could match just the absolute outrageousness of those three?
I don't think so. Like, I'm trying to rack my brain right now.
You got the fake Southern accent guy, the absolute not fake at all Southern accent woman, and
then the target of FBI investigations.
Choir boy cheater guy.
Yes.
Gosh, amazing.
It's kind of extravagant as the other two are. I still find Will Wade to be the most unlikable of the three. I really do. Like, I don't really like Brian Kelly all that much. But I think of the three, I'm like, Will Wade. Every time I see him, I'm like, geez, man.
Well,
what's going on here?
I mean, I think the unlikability quotient is pretty high for all
three. It's all three.
But yeah. I think it's higher for Mulkey and Kelly. It's also because they beat the crap out of it. I mean, right. Mulkey is – I mean, she's got them as a two seed here in year one.
Yeah.
She's an incredible coach, but that's also part of unlikability is when you act like that and also you win usually. It's like, I mean, Bruce Pearl is a great, very disliked by a lot of people. Also, he's really good.
Yeah. Now, I think LSU takes the cake on that for those three.
Well, okay, so we just thought about Auburn. I mean, Bruce Pearl, little Brian Harsin.
Yeah.
But, yeah, see, you can get two of the three, but can you get three of three to that level?
I don't know. It's hard.
If anybody can think of anything, let us know because that's a great call.
I mean, when the
Vols – That's a great call. You've made me, like, happy at the end of the Rex Rant.
Well, this is different because it's not anywhere near the same as those three. But, like, just in terms of different personalities and, like, how crazy it was, you have Jeremy Pruitt, Rick Barnes, and Tony Vitello. Those three are pretty interesting.
Yeah. But, again
– it's just not the same.
Right. I mean, like – most people like Rick Barnes. How do you not like Rick Barnes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tony Vitello. Everyone loves Tony Vitello.
Well, except, but Tony Vitello, especially if they are going to keep being good like this, he's going to be very disliked outside of Knoxville. Yeah. Very disliked.
He gets after people.
Yes. So that's kind of along those lines.
I thought he's going to get tossed the other night against Texas. They called one that was a little bit borderline on the strike zone. I thought he's about to get it. But that'll happen at some point.
We got to get him on soon.
We will. This has been the Rex Rant. You can catch it every Monday morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and all things Middle Tennessee sports. Right now, though, got a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Dallas Stars coming up tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Stars, a massive game coming up tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.